I thought about something this morning. I learned something. Still a pain.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones
for all the sea, stacked in stones, one on another, stacked in stones for you and me. For the children of the Lord, Lord, we're so thankful this morning to have Brother Martin be able to preach for us, Lord. I just pray that you use him today, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon him, Lord, that, Lord, the Holy Ghost of God give him unction to preach. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as the Word of God comes forth, that you'll address our needs, meet the very need of our soul, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we come out of here different than we came in. Be with each and every one, touch each and every heart. Bless us, Lord. We love you and we need you right now. Please touch us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Maybe one of these
days. Amen, brother. Amen.
I want to say, church, thank you for this opportunity and that you've blessed me with and give me to come. And thank you for the pastors. He's asked me to fill in for him. And I want to say, when y'all stand and go around and shake hands, I'm not trying to be selfish. I just get around very good, and I just try to stay put. But I love you, and I appreciate this opportunity to be here with you and to try to share God's Word with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 17, verse 15. Psalm 17 and 15. You know, I asked a question this morning. You know, are we really satisfied? You know, that's something to think about, being satisfied. And for my message this morning, I want to say, only when I see the face of God will I be satisfied. Now, I've got a lot to be thankful for today. God reached down into the miry clay and he set, lifted me up and he set my feet on a solid rock. He saved my soul. He's gone to prepare a place for me. But only will I be satisfied when he comes back and takes me home.
Amen.
And I see his face. Psalm 17 and 15, let me get my other set of eyes on here. God's Word has this to say for us. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. In other words, when I awake and I've been changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye,
amen,
in thy likeness. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Break it unto us. Feed our soul. Use these old lips of clay and give me the freeness. Anoint me, my Father, with thy spirit and thy power. May we seek thy will in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, only when I see God's face, will I be satisfied. One of my fondest memories that I can think about was when I was a little boy. And I'd run out to meet Daddy when he come home. That was something to bring a memory to you. And he'd reach down with them old big sweaty arms where he'd worked all day. He'd pick me up and he'd hug me. And I'd reach up and get that old straw hat, Brother James, and wasn't a cowboy in town like me when I got that hat on. Then when we got over to the porch and Daddy'd sit down and he'd pull his shoes off, I'd put them old boots on. And I was fixed up. Then we'd go in the house, and I always remembered when we went in the house, Daddy would hand me his lunchbox. A lot of folks don't know what a lunchbox is today, but back in them days, we carried our dinner with us in a lunchbox or Miss Tucker's large bucket, something if your lunch was in. But Daddy always handed me his lunch bucket, and I'd open it up, and there was a treat in it. Always seemed to be a treat there that Daddy had left in there for me. There was a cookie of some kind that Mama had made for him to take to work, but he always made sure there was a treat left in there for me, and that was good. But you know, I got to thinking, if Daddy, and sometimes he wouldn't make it home, he'd have to go to another job or something, but I got to thinking, Daddy had always sent the treat home by somebody else. And for a little while, that was good. And then the thought come to me, where's Daddy? You know, I missed him. Treat was nice, but I wanted Daddy. I wanted them big arms around me. I wanted that hug and that voice of authority to speak to me. And I got to thinking about that. You know, young people, they understand a lot. It's not always the goodies that blesses them, but it's the giver. And I think about the frills, but it's the Father that counts. The Heavenly Father. And you know, I get to wondering, what would it be like if God made a similar promise to you and I about His life for you and I? You know, just suppose that God told you that there'll never be any more pain. That'd be good, wouldn't it? You get to thinking about it. That you'll never be afraid or alone. And I remember as I grew up, and I've seen times that I was afraid. I've seen times in my adult life that I've been afraid. I know God is there to care for you, but I've seen times when the storm blew our house away, I was afraid. I felt alone. I remember when my dad passed away as I was standing there in the old St. Joseph Hospital. I felt like the world was gone and I was by myself because I had loved him all those years and he had loved me. And he had brought me that old lunch bucket with that snack in it. And I felt alone. You know, I get to thinking about God would tell me, now, Martin, there'll be no more failures. Because, you know, I've failed a lot in life. Been a lot of times I was supposed to do something that I didn't do. I failed on a lot of things. But I think about what God has done for me. Only, he says, I'll do all of these things for you. I'll bless you, and you can have everything that you need. Can you think about that, Brother Brandon? Everything you need. But he says, only you won't see my face. What about it? Heaven? That's a wonderful place to think about. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. There in heaven he's gone to prepare, and he's coming back. Now, I've done all of this. But heaven, if God wasn't there, heaven wouldn't be heaven without God. You need God. Wherever you're at. You know, I've heard the old saying, where's hell? And then the answer was, any place where God's not. But heaven wouldn't be heaven if God wasn't there. I'm not trying to doubt God. But God could grant me everything in the world. But if he wasn't going to be there, a painless eternity. Martin, you can live through all eternity and never have another pain. And I know for the past few weeks I've had my share of those pains. And to think about not having any more. But that wouldn't be heaven if God wasn't there.
Amen.
You know, splendor will stagger us. All the beauty. But it says that he's gone to prepare. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. That's splendor, my friend. But it wouldn't be no good if God wasn't there.
Amen.
We need God in our lives. You know, things being attractive is great, but you need God. Folks, we are his, and our hearts are restless until we rest in him. What does the Bible tell us over in the book of Matthew? I'm sure you know it by heart, but there in the 8th chapter, I can't see here too good. The 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, we can rest in Jesus. Now, Moses can tell us this is true. Moses knew more, and he had as much of God as anybody in the Bible. You know, I think about old Moses. He had as much of God. God had spoke to him in a burning bush. God had spoke to him in the manna from heaven. God had spoken to him as they went down to cross the sea and the army was bearing down on them and they crossed on dry ground. Moses had as much of God as anybody could have. But yet, Moses yearned for something else. He yearned for more of God. He longed to see God. But he dared not ask, please show me thy face. Listen to what it says over in the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter and verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me your glory, God. A hat, shoes, snacks, a fiery bush, a manna from heaven. They were insufficient. Moses wanted to see God for himself. I'm thankful for all of these things, Lord. You've blessed me. You used me to take the children out and carry them down to the Red Sea. And there it dried up and we went across on dry ground. And then when we got across, Lord, you brought the walls of the sea down to destroy the enemy. Moses had all, he had much of God, but yet he said, I want to see his face. I'll not be satisfied till I see his face. You know, isn't that what we want? You speak of heaven, no tears, no death, no fear, no night. These, my friend, are the benefits of heaven. That's the benefits that we get. That's the blessings that are ours when we go home to see the Lord. The beauty of heaven is seeing God. Seeing God's heaven. Our hearts will only be at peace when we see him. And what that's what the text said, wasn't it? Look back there at the text with me and notice what it said. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be what? Satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. In other words, God, when I get my first glimpse of you, when I awake in the glories of heaven, amen, and when my eyes open, I'm going to see God, amen, and all his power, all of his might, and all of his love. That's what's going to make it beautiful, is what he has for you and I. We can't be satisfied. It's not because we're greedy. It's because we're hungry for something that's not found here on earth. Now, I found salvation down here, and I thank God. I thank God every day nearly, and I praise him. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. I thank God when I, wherever I'm at, and I see the blessings of God. I thank God this morning that he saved me. My heart sort of was broken and heavy. I went up to visit a new man there in the home. First time I'd ever seen him, and I walked up and I told him, good morning. Put my hand out and I said, they call me Martin when they ain't mad at me, just in a joking way. And he told me his name. But what broke my heart, he said, now I want to tell you, don't go to talking to me about God. I thought, you need God, fella. Yep. You won't be in hell 2 seconds till you believe in God, that there's a God. You know, I hear these atheists and all these people say, I don't believe in God. Who's the first person they call on when they're laying there on the hospital bed and death is almost up on them? Oh, God, help me. But I don't believe in you. But they're calling on him to reach down and ease their pain and lift them up out of it. You know, listen to Philip, what he had to say. There in the book of John 14:8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It makes us happy. It satisfies us when we see God. But not, friend, until then. You know, any man would be privileged for just a peek at God. You know, the legend says that the first Indian man that saw Grand Canyon, when they took him over and let him see it, said he run and tied himself to a tree, scared of what he saw. You know, any man is privileged to peek of God. And hear the words of Isaiah. Listen to what he has to say about it. And we turn there in the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And we want to read a few verses here and see what God says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord setting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now this is Isaiah talking. And it stood, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah talking, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it up on my mouth, and he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. God had touched him, and then he said, Send me, Lord. But you know, he wanted to see God. Holiness of God illuminates the sin of man. I know you ladies have been around a dressing mirror. We had one up at First Baptist Church, and I had to move it a few times. And that dressing mirror shows you things you didn't know you had. It shows you the bumps on your face. It shows you the moles. It shows you the whatever it is. It just tells you all about you. You look and you see your shirt's not buttoned straight. And you look and your collar's turned up instead of where it belongs. And you get to looking in that mirror and you see the things of man that's not right. God illuminates man and shows him the sin in his life. God is our dressing mirror. You know, the holiness of God highlights our sins. So then what do we do? Listen to Moses and what happened to him over in Exodus, the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter, verses 21 through 23. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know, God had said earlier, anyone that looked up on the face of God would die. So he said, Moses, you're going to see my backside. But Moses yearned, he longed to see the face of God. What a blessing he was. In reading those verses, did you see what Moses did? I didn't. Did you note what God did? I did, didn't you? He took Moses and he put him in the cleft of the rock and he used his hand and then he removed it. And Moses got a glimpse of the backside of God. Moses didn't do nothing, but God did the work. God is active. God gave Moses a place to stand, a rock. God placed Moses in the crevice. God covered Moses with his hand. God passed by, and God reveals himself. God made Moses to catch a glimpse of him, his back. All Moses needed to do was ask, and oh, how he asked. And all we can do is ask, but oh, how we need to ask. Only in asking, my friend, can we receive. Only in seeking can we find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God wants us to seek him. God will equip us for our eternal moment in the sun. He has given us the rock, Jesus Christ. What more could we ask for than Jesus Christ, who loved us and came to this earth and gave his life for old Martin? Can you imagine that God looked down and he said, there's old Martin, he's on his way to hell, Father, I got to save him. And he came and he died for me.
Amen.
Not just Martin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he has given me the cleft. His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Then he covered me. I got a glimpse of that nail-scarred hand that was nailed to that old cross for me.
Amen.
He covered me with it. Just as my dad came home at the right time, and I was always ready to see him, and he always had, like I said, he had the old lunchbox, and it was full of something that I liked. He brought the gifts and the pleasures. So with God. One of these days, I've often felt like it being my time here on this earth. But whether I'm out yonder somewhere in a pine box or wherever it is I'm put away, or whether I'm walking down the streets of Paris, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to hear it.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ are going to rise. I can just see in my mind those old graves down there at Roxton open and Mom and Dad coming forth and Bubba. And I can just see all those graves as they open. And I'm going to get to see y'all who have maybe gone on too, or you're here and I've gone on, whichever way, but We'll get to see one another and spend eternity together.
Yes.
Folks, that's the joy of serving God here on this earth, is knowing that we have an eternal home and get to be with God. We want to see the Father. Then and then only, folks, will we be satisfied. When I can see Him face to face. When I can see Jesus walking across heaven to me. Or me running to Him. However it's going to be. I believe He's going to be like the Father and the prodigal son. He's going to go to greet Him. I believe Jesus will come to greet me and say, well done, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Welcome to the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
It's mine. It's yours. When we see Jesus, we'll be satisfied. Brother Brandon, as we get ready for the invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. That's between you and God. But you're here and God is speaking to you. I don't know what you might need to do, but whatever it is, don't be afraid. Don't wait on somebody else, but step out. And it'll be great one of these days when we can see Him face to face. Let's stand.